V'hapeh u'moitza haruach v'giluyav b'pchines giluy. The mouth is the outlet of the breath and its emergence into a revealed state. V'haynu b'chines hadibur b'divrei Torah, representing speaking words of Torah. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? This is a difficult line. We understand a kiss is connected to a mind experience because kissing is in the part of the head. But it's mouth to mouth. What does it have to do with using your mind? With connecting a spirit to a spirit? The Alter Rebbe called it Dapkus Ruche Beruche. So the explanation is as follows. As Chassidus explains elsewhere, in kissing there are two components. There's the essence and there's the manifestation. And I have to emphasize, we're not talking about an external kiss. You see your enemy and you want to connive him, so you give him a kiss, and then 10 minutes later you could stab him in the back. We're not talking about such a kiss. And we're not talking about such. We're talking about a real kiss. In a real kiss, there is the essence and there's the manifestation. The essence doesn't begin with a mouth-to-mouth relationship. The essence begins with the fact of Hizdapkus Ruche Beruche. I want my spirit to connect with your spirit. And therefore, one mouth connects with another mouth, and what happens in the process, the Alter Rebbe explains, is the ruach, the breath of one person enters into the breath of the beloved one, and the two breaths, rucha berucha, merge into a seamless whole. My breath merges into your breath. My spirit and your spirit become one. Part of the breath and the inner life of the one who loves becomes one with the spirit and the breath and the inner life of the beloved one. That's learning Torah. That's Chabad. When I learn, I use my mind. That's my inner spirit. What am I saturating my mind with? Hashem's inner spirit. Hashem's inner wisdom. That's Torah. So that's Hizdapkus Ruche Beruche. But then your mouth is the outlet for the breath. Just like in a kiss. I could connect breath to breath spiritually. My spirit connects to your spirit. But the kiss is the revelation of it, the expression of it. So in the Jew and Hashem, you have the same thing. You could learn and think and meditate and steig and harava. Your spirit becomes saturated with Hashem's spirit. But then you say the words of Torah, it releases the energy, it releases the bond. It's like you're kissing Hashem. Your mouth is kissing Hashem's mouth. Your mouth is saying words that Hashem spoke. Words of Torah are words that Hashem spoke, so to speak. This expresses, it's Maitzei HaRuach V'Giluyev. It brings it out, and that's why speaking is important. So what's the result of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha? You want to become one with Him. You want to give up everything. Sit down and learn and utter the words. That's why we say, V'hayu Advarim Eila Alevavcha V'Dibarta Bam. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. On your heart, and you should speak them. Tehillim is an interesting thing. Generally, Tehillim is an exercise in prayer. The Maaseh, the Gemara says that David accomplished that Tehillim should be considered like Negayim and Alas, like learning some complicated elements in Torah. So the question is what that means. But what Alter Rebbe is talking here about is the intellectual experience of Torah and the verbal experience. So if you're learning Tehillim, it would go into it. Of course, Tehillim is part of Torah. But if it's Tehillim as a prayer experience, then it's part of embracing Hashem and not kissing Hashem, which is good. It's good to embrace somebody you love. But over here he's focusing on the kissing. Dibur? No. It's the Dibarta Bam. If you want, if you're serious, if you really want to be after Hashem, so when you finish, start learning. It's an ach. He starts off with ach. It's an ach. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush gomer. It's a complete chiddush. Naturally, you would say, okay, fly high. Fly high. You know, get lost. Get into your spaceship and just get out of this hemisphere. Whatever that means. Because really, learning is a contradiction to this experience. That's why he says ach. You know why? Because if I want to learn a glat gemara, I want to learn a mishnah, I want to learn a chumash, I want to learn a rajba, and I really want to understand it, it's a process. You have to stay here. And you have to feel your brain. And you have to feel yourself. And you have to struggle with it and struggle with your mind and struggle with the concept. And that's even using your mind. And then speaking it is even more a process of enclothement in contrast to transcendence. But the Alter Rebbe says, this is, for the Jew, the follow-up after Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. And here the Alter Rebbe adds, Ki al kol meitzepi Hashem yichya ha'adam. Quoting, paraphrasing a pasuk in Parashas Ekev, for by the word, by that which proceeds from Hashem's mouth, does man live. Now I have to tell you that a lot of ink has been spilled to try to explain what the Alter Rebbe means with this pasuk in Parashas Ekev. So literally you'll say, what do you mean what he means? He's trying to explain why it's not enough to think Torah, but you have to speak Torah. Because Yichya Adam, if you want to live, if the person wants to live spiritually, you need Meitzapi Hashem. You need that which comes out of Hashem's mouth, so to speak, the words of Torah. The words that Hashem spoke Meitzapi Hashem, the words of Torah, that's what you live from. But this doesn't explain, first of all, why you have to speak it. So you're going to say, this is a pasuk that explains generally that you live from Torah. So this is the pasuk he has to bring to say that you live from Torah. A mitzvah pi Hashem yichi adam, which is talking about bread. Loyal alechem levadi yichi adam, a mitzvah pi Hashem yichi adam. The big question is why there's a period before ki. Periods in Tanya are not seldom. What's the period before?
I don't understand something.
No. I understand that, but where do you see that in the pasuk? You're saying good. I understand. He explained well why you have to speak Torah to express your relationship. But what is he bringing from the pasuk, and why is there a period before? The main thing is look a line later. Umikal makayim, nonetheless, layotzi yedei chivosi behiruvi in levadai. A person doesn't fulfill his obligation by meditation and deliberation alone, by thinking, atche yotzi bisvasov, until he expresses the words with his lips, kidei, and he explains why. I thought you just explained, kalkal meitzapi Hashem yichi adam, so he didn't explain it yet. So what's the key? The Maisa is, take a look, a line earlier. V'hapeh hu moitza haruach v'giluyav or v'giluyoy b'pchines gilui. What's this redundancy? V'hapeh, the mouth, hu moitza haruach, is the outlet of the breath, b'pchines gilui. In a revealed way, it brings the breath out. It expresses the breath, or in spiritual terms, by speaking words of Torah, you express verbally in a very manifest way the internal connection with Hashem in a verbalized fashion. V'apel meitzei haruach v'giluyoy, or v'giluyoy b'pchines gili. It's the outlet of the breath, and it is its emergence in an emerged way. You already said it is its emergence. And we know the precision with which the Alter Rebbe wrote the Tanya. So very briefly, the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote a very long explanation to the second half, to this part of chapter 49 of Tanya, enlightening the sequence, the content, the message. He wrote it very briefly, although it's very long, it's very, very brief. He usually wrote very brief and concise. It's hard to decipher. And he explains this. I'll tell you briefly what he says, and then we'll go on. I want to finish here. And as we go on, I will insert, as we continue, his insights on how he understood this, the end of this period, because it's difficult to comprehend at first glance, the sequence. And he said as follows. Ki al kol meitzapi Hashem yichi adam, ki is not a because. Ki is part of the pasuk. Ki is part of the pasuk. It's not a because. And Alter Rebbe is not explaining here why you have to speak. He's explaining here something about neshikin, about the kiss. You were right. How you have to learn. There's two parts in Torah, we all know. There's what we call Gemara and what we call Halacha. There's the analytical element of Torah, and there's the verdict, the final verdict, how you have to behave. The Gemara part of Torah is really endless. The questions and the answers, the proofs and the refutations, depth and a deeper depth, more layers and more layers, and so on and so forth. The thought in the beginning and the thought at the end, and all of the commentators and how the commentators dispute with each other and fight with each other, and so on and so forth. And then there is the final verdict. Everybody knows in the stage of Gemara, there's a lot of confusion. The point of halacha is, of law, that it brings the thoughts to their culmination, it consolidates them, it finalizes them, and it allows you to put them to good use. You can't go live with Gemara in your daily life. You could live with Shulchan Aruch, because Gemara, there's so many opinions, and there's so many questions, so many answers. Shulchan Aruch drives it home, finalizes it, and allows you to live with it. When he says, kissing Hashem, what's the kiss? Could the kiss perhaps only be through Iyun HaTorah, which is pilpul, through learning only those elements of Torah that engage the brain in a very profound way, but don't lead to halacha? So Alter Rebbe is trying to say no. Neshikin, the kiss, has to include both elements. Iyun HaTorah must include the analytical, in-depth process of Torah study, but it also must include law, the practical applications, and the final analysis and conclusions. The mouth is the outlet for the breath, and the mouth is also the outlet for the revelation of the breath. It brings them both to gilui. The breath, that's considered the analytical elements of Torah. The gilui of the breath, that's the halacha of Torah. Even before speaking, what halacha does is it takes very nebulous, abstract, non-practical situations, hypothesis, examples, and makes it accessible. It makes it manifest, it makes it real in real life. Therefore, if this is what happens in your business, this is how you have to behave. So, Maitzei Ruach v'Giluyav are two parts of Neshikin, two parts of kissing. And the pair, you need the mouth to reveal both of them. Since Halacha makes the Iyun of Torah, the analysis of Torah, accessible, it's defined in Chassidus as Maitza Pi Hashem. It's like a mouth, in the sense, just like a mouth reveals the inner thoughts, Halacha reveals and makes analytical Torah accessible. And that's why the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. It calls Halacha Dvar Hashem, the word. Because Halacha does to pilpul what the mouth does to thought. So look in the Alter Rebbe's words here. What does he say? Apel meitzei haruach v'giluyu b'pchines gili v'haynu pchines hadibur b'divrei Torah. Asks the Rebbe, v'haynu pchines hadibur b'Torah? What's up, hadibur b'divrei Torah? No, hadibur b'divrei Torah. Halacha, relative to other parts of Torah, to the more analytical part of Torah, is called divrei Torah. Because it reveals it, it drives it home, it makes it accessible to you. So the Rebbe now says, "Ki al kol meitze pi Hashem yichya adam." Because a person can only live with the analysis; he has to live with meitze pi Hashem, with the halacha. But that's all part of neshikin. And the only reason you have to speak the words is just to express the intimate connection, just like a physical kiss. It's not enough, I feel for you, I love you, you want to express it physically. I can learn Torah in my mind, and the words express it. They express the Torah, they make it real, they make it tangible. It's like I'm physically kissing Hashem's mouth, so to speak, by saying His words. Now, the Alter Rebbe continues.
Not what I meant.
Fine. That's a good point. You say Maitza Pi Hashem is the divine part of the kiss, but he needs this pasuk in Parshas Ekev to tell you that the Torah is divine. This is not even a pasuk. It's interesting in the pasuk. You mean Maitza Pi Hashem? So you're saying it's referring to the words that Hashem spoke.
Yeah,
expression of kissing.
It's a donation to the Nesheim.
Right.
So he's giving food. And we're saying that the Torah is, that's where Chayus of the Adam comes from, Pi Hashem. So there's an association of Peh in the process.
Of the Peh of Hashem.
Right.
So, and what does that explain to us? Okay.
Not having to know
this.
Something that doesn't say here.
Now it's interesting. Okay, acknowledged. In the pasuk it says, "Lo yala lechem levada yichyadim kal kol meitzer pi Hashem yichyadim." So according to this, it's also understood. You can't only live on the bread, like on the meat, the bread, the depth of the analysis, but it also has to come out and be finalized in terms of halach. But now, let's just conclude here swiftly. It's already late. Let's conclude briefly. Nonetheless, a person doesn't fulfill his obligation through meditation and just thinking, till he releases it with his lips, which is a halacha that Rebbe himself in his laws of Talmud Torah and Perek Beis writes, that a person who can verbalize words of Torah and he does not fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. The mitzvah of learning requires verbalization. If you have to be quiet in order to figure out what you're learning, then it's fine. But if it's possible to utter it with your lips, but you're just not in the mood, and so on and so forth, you're doing a good thing. You're even doing the mitzvah of knowing Torah, but not the mitzvah of learning Torah. So the question is, why is it so important? Why? We explained that uttering, verbalization, is the expression of the inner attachment of spirit to spirit. So that means that speech is a facilitator and an expression of the inner experience. So that's why you don't fulfill the mitzvah. The fact that you don't fulfill the mitzvah without speech means that it's not just a facilitator and an expression of another experience. It is a crucial component in and of itself. To put it in more practical terms, in the yeshivas, there's the famous line said in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, Asafelten Hasbara, Felten Havana. If somebody says, I understand it, but I just can't explain it. No, if you can't explain it, you don't understand it. This doesn't mean, obviously, that if you don't get up and give a class on what you understood, it means you didn't understand it. It's possible that you should understand it and you happen not to explain it. It just means that the parameter to test yourself that you really understood is if you explain it. But it's possible that you should understand it and not explain it. It just happens to be that way. He's saying if you can't explain it, it means you didn't understand it. And same with Al-Tareb is asking the same, a similar point. He's making a similar point here. Just because speech expresses it would not make speech so crucial as to disqualify the experience of a kiss without speech. But that's what the halacha says. You're not learning. You're not yet to the mitzvah of learning without the speech. Why is it so important? So the Alter Rebbe says, because there's something in speech in addition to the fact that it serves the inner experience of thought. There's something about the kiss through the mouth that is additional to the kiss of the soul, of the spirit. Today, because the purpose of speech really is laham shecheid in save baruch hu lamata, to draw down the infinite energy of Hashem downwards here below ad nefesh achiyunis unto the biological soul hashechen is bedama adam, which dwells in the blood of man hamishavim idaimim tzemeach v'chai, which this blood is produced by the intake of food from the mineral, the vegetable, and the animal worlds. When a person speaks, it is an activity, a real activity of the biological animal soul. That's a real activity of our biological system when you speak. The biological soul, in turn, is intimately connected with our blood. The blood, that is our life, and the blood receives its spiritual current from the biological animal soul in it. The blood and the blood circulation is produced in the body by an intake of food which We intake from all different components in the world, whether it's from the mineral world, from the vegetable world, from the animal world. Zogdal Tereb. When you utter a word of Torah, what you did at that moment was you introduced the truths of the infinity and the absoluteness of godliness into your animal soul, into the blood, into all the components that produce the blood, and thus ultimately into the world, and you revolutionize the world. So in a sense, that uttering the word of Torah justifies existence. It justifies creation. It justifies everything you ate. It justifies everything, every machine, every company that was used and employed in the production of the materials that produced your food, that gave you blood, that allowed your animal soul to exist, that allowed you to utter these words of Torah. They all in turn become vehicles that are now expressing godliness. They all serve the purpose of Torah, which is Hashem, which is godliness. And thus they become permeated with godliness. And that's what the Jew accomplishes by speaking. That's the purpose. So now, you'll ask the question, okay, nice, but it's really totally disconnected to Vahafta. Vahaft is Hashem Elokecha's transcendence. V'dibar tabam is totally disconnected from you. It's a separate thing that the Jew has to bring a godliness into the world. But it's really diametrically opposed to the experience of transcendence indicated in the words of Vahafta. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. Kedei lahalos kulon Hashem. You would think the experience of my love should translate into asceticism. Here we say, not only not asceticism, you have to get back to the books. There has to be a need for self-affirmation. Not only self-affirmation, you have to speak words, which is really a process of self-identity, of being in touch with your own brain and your own mouth and your own animal soul. And apparently that's opposed to the experience of ascending, of melting away. Stalter Rebbe says, it's not a contradiction. Everybody wants to melt away in Hashem. This is the Vahafta. Don't be selfish about it. Everybody wants to melt. Everybody needs to be elevated. Im kol olam kuloi, the entire world is waiting. The Alter Rebbe says, I mean, look at the word Tehilahalis, kulon Lashem, everything. Im kol olam kuloi. The entire world, Zogd Alter Rebbe, is yearning to put its mouth on the mouth of man and together declare the Yizgadal v'Yizkada Shmei Rabba, the truth of godliness. Ulekalalon b'yichud v'ere Yizbarach, to absorb them all in Hashem's unity and light, Hashayayir la'aretz v'ladaram aleh b'b'chinas gilui, which He will ultimately illuminate the world and its inhabitants in a revealed manner. V'nigla kved Hashem v'ro kol basar v'gayman, in the spirit of what the prophet Yeshaya says in chapter 40, and the glory of Hashem shall be revealed and all flesh will see it. This is the ultimate purpose of creation. What does it mean is the ultimate purpose of creation? This is our task. Our task is that the world, which will ultimately become the abode where godliness will be revealed, that process should be achieved by us. The ultimate realization will be when Mashiach comes, but that process has to be achieved now. You mean Pi Hashem? The Pi? Okay. It's not relevant to here. Here is the role that they should perceive it. They should become permeated with this truth. So now you read further. You say this is a gewaldik zach, but it's not connected to the blessings of Shema, and it's not connected to Shema, which denotes the fact that a person should surrender himself to Hashem, because Hashem surrendered Himself to the person. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. Shezeu tachlis ishtalshlus kol ha'olam is, for this is the purpose of the evolution of all of the worlds. That the glory of Hashem should pervade this physical world, particularly in a revealed manner. This was the purpose of everything. To transform the darkness into light and to transform the bitterness into sweetness. As has been explained above in chapter 36 at length. So the whole purpose of the blessings of Shema and Shema itself, where we learn and we meditate on the fact that Hashem is absolute and infinite, and he contracted himself. Why? To connect with this world and with the human being living in this world. Avas Eilam Haftanu. This is the purpose of it. V'zeu Tachlis Kavanas Adam Bavidase. And this is the ultimate purpose of man in his service of Hashem. Laham Shecherin Sei Baruch Hu Lamata. To draw down the infinite light of Hashem down below. That's his ultimate purpose. And therefore, he has to revolutionize the world. Shema and Vesh, the Birchus Kirishma denote that Hashem put away his infinity to create our world and to create us. Why? So that we should transform it, transform ourselves and the world. And this is expressed in the learning Torah and the speaking of the words of Torah V'dibartabo. But he concludes, according to this, what we learn from this is that the blessings of Shema have two results. They have two consequences. And apparently the two are disconnected. One consequence that you learn from it is that Hashem suspended his light to create this world. So now our job is to spiritualize the world, to bring back Hashem's light through serving Hashem and sublimating the world. That's one point we learn from the blessings of Shema. Another point we learn from the blessings of Shema, since Hashem forfeited his light to produce us, so therefore we ought to forfeit our own needs to develop our own relationship with Hashem. But it's not really connected. It's two lessons from Shema. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. Rak shetzarech tchila halas mayin nukvin limser le'nafshe yamaydik niskeleh. However, the initiative in order to draw divine light below must come through the elevation of man. Man is Mayin Nukvin, an acronym for feminine waters, female waters. In Kabbalistic terminology, it signifies the arousal and the elevation of the recipient. Mayin Nukvin. So a person must initiate the process of surrendering to Hashem his soul and his entire being, as has been explained above in previous chapters 41 and 46. And it's only that that allows afterwards that Hashem's light should come below. So therefore, as a result of halas man, of man experiencing a love and a surrender to Hashem, where he's ready to forgo everything for his sake, so what can happen now is the ultimate purpose of creation, which is to bring godliness into the world, can occur. And therefore, the two implications of Birchas Krishma are really very much connected. On one hand, we talk about the surrender, and then we took that the ultimate purpose is to bring godliness back into the world, and that's achieved through mitzvahs, but the context here is the kiss. Mitzvahs is a different type of relationship. The context here is the kiss through Torah, not just through Torah, but through speaking Torah. Now, the point behind what Alter Rebbe is saying to conclude is, you see, to really connect the infinity of Hashem and the world is a paradox. Because if he's infinite, there's no world. If there's a world, I mean, he's not infinite. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying here, that the reconciliation of this paradox must begin by an initiation of man. When man protests his own finiteness, and he transcends his limitations, and he says no to those elements that seem so intrinsic to the limitations of man, he builds a bridge to infinity. When man protests, he revolts against his own finiteness, his own limitations, his own needs, and he says, I'm ready to renounce it for the relationship with Hashem. I'm ready to transcend my limitations. He creates a hole in the finiteness of the world. He creates an opening that the light of infinity could then come down. So that's why the Vahafta is an introduction to the Vahayu Advarim Ha'ela V'dibar Tabam. Just conclude with a little idea and a little story. Briefly, it's late. I mean, this is, I mentioned last week, this is a chapter that Alter Rebbe says you have to use the depth of your brain and your heart. It's not easy to digest. It has to really grow on you. Read it and reread it and learn it, and every word is very meticulous. We have to allow the truths he conveys to become part of us, and it's a difficult process, both the intellectual and certainly the emotional and the experiential. One of the powerful contributions of this chapter in the general understanding of Jewish mysticism is, usually, in all of Jewish mysticism, if anybody is familiar with Kabbalah or Chassidus, we know that the greatest tragedy of the universe is the Tzimtzum. The Tzimtzum is they used to have, right, money is the root of all evil, right? In Kabbalah, the Tzimtzum is the root of all evil. It's God's sin, so to speak. It's God's own sin. That's when He created the reality. It says this, that Tzimtzum produced the reality of what's known as Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessel, which produced the fact that the moon got diminished, which produced the Chet Tzadas, the sin of Adam eating from the tree, which produced all the other problems. The Tzimtzum is something we have to overcome, we have to conquer. It's the moment when Hashem denied Himself, when Hashem, so to speak, withdrew His presence, when He said no to Himself, and He had created an independent reality that can experience itself independent of Hashem. It can even ultimately deny Hashem. In chapter 4, and that's true, this is true what I said, but in chapter 49, the Alter Rebbe takes a very opposite approach, where the Tzimtzum itself becomes the impetus for the deepest spiritual experience. The process of Tzimtzum becomes the catalyst for the deepest love between the Jew and Hashem. Not only that, but you'll see something very interesting I want to point out. Chapter 49 finishes a continuum of four chapters that began with chapter 46. 46, 47, 48, 49. Chapter 46, he started to analyze the Pasuk in Mishle. Kamayim haponim laponim kein lev adam ladam. Like water reflects a face back to a face, the heart of man is reflected to him in the heart of his fellow man. Take a look for a moment, please, at page 129, Daf Samachei Amud Aleph, on the top, the beginning of Perek Mem Vav. The Alter Rebbe writes, V'yesh derech yasher lefnei ish, shavu l'chol nefesh, v'karoiv hadavar ma'oid miyoid, la'oirer ulahayir oir ha'ava atkua, m'sederes belibeli yismiru, b'teikif oir keish boyara, b'izgalus libe meche, limser nafshi l'ashem, v'gufe meide b'chalei v'nefesh amayit, b'um kedalibim emes lamitio, b'frad b'shas kriya shma, b'r'chisea k'mayshi yisboyer, v'hu kashe yasim elibim ha'shamar ha'kosef, k'mayim aponim l'ponim. And here he begins, and he finishes it here. That's what he says, Birchas Krishma. It's the only time in Tanya where we get a Ma'id Mi'id. Now, we still have a problem with understanding Karev Adavar Mi'id. The Alter Rebbe says it's very accessible. Avos Hashem is very accessible if you follow the program of Tanya. But here suddenly we get a Ma'id Mi'id. It's not just accessible. Moshe Rabbeinu says Mi'id. In Perek Mem Vav you get a Ma'id Mi'id. It's very, very accessible. It's so accessible that it's mamish there, right at your doorstep, right? But please, it's, what does he mean, ma'id ma'id? But the truth is, if you think about it, there's something very unique about this approach. I don't have time now to get into it, I just want to say the point. In all of Tanya, till these chapters, the Alter Rebbe is trying to address the ordinary man, the struggling man, the person who suffers from ugly temptations and animalistic and beastly cravings. True, obviously. Even you can release your imprisoned divine splendor. Even you. But the kvetchen Tanya was even you. If you're more spiritual, you're more sensitive, and you're more of a vessel to experience love to Hashem. If you're lower, it's a deeper struggle. But the more spiritual you are, the more love you'll be. The more love you'll experience. What does he say in chapter 49? Exact opposite. The lower you are, the less sensitive you are to spirituality. View that as the greatest opportunity to experience the deepest love. You know why? If you look in your mirror, if you look into the mirror, and you feel a little bit of light, you feel a little bit of spirituality, that means that Hashem didn't totally abandon His light to create you. Because you're still an expression of spirituality. So, Hashem didn't have to forget Himself to produce a person like you. When I look in the mirror and I see what? I see a crude, ugly human being filled with vulgarity, with not a tinge of light. I have to think to myself, to create such a cesspool, Hashem had to abandon everything. There's not a drop of light here. There's not a drop of godliness here. So Hashem, so to speak, suspended everything. Why? To have this person, because he wants a relationship with this cesspool. I'm using these words because I want to bring out the point. So if you feel like a spiritual cesspool, unbelievable. Hashem put aside everything because he wanted a relationship with this dirt. So what should be my response? My response is, I should give away everything to have a relationship with him. On the contrary, the lower a person is, that's why he says, Karav Ma'id Ma'id. Wherever you are, whichever position you are, this is a meditation that relates to you, Vidushtest and Geist, as you are. The crudeness, that's just a reason to love even more. After such a heavy talk, let me conclude with something lighter. A few years ago, there passed away a man whose name was Sam Reshevsky. He lived in Muncie during the past few years. He passed away, I think, like 7 or 8 years ago. His Jewish name was Shmuel Reshevsky. He was an extraordinary chess master. And he actually played... he actually won the championship a few times for America in its chess competitions against the former Soviet Union. And he was an observant Jew in his personal life. But he traveled extensively, and he was a very, very well-known chess player. For many years, till he moved to Muncie, he lived in Crown Heights. And once, it was a Shabbos afternoon, and he visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he attended his Fabrengen, his Hasidic gathering. So during that assembly, the Rebbe explained the Kabbalah of chess, or the spiritual secret of the game of chess, based on what the Baal Shem Tov says, that everything is a lesson. Everything you see can be used as a spiritual lesson in the service of Hashem, particularly the chess game, which is mentioned in the Gemara. You don't know that. I have it here. In Ksuvus, Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, you look it up, there's a word there called Nadrashir. If you look in the Hamatar game in the back of the Vilna Shas that translates the different words, he says that it's Shach, the game of chess. And it's also brought in various Rishonim. So it's actually, according to men, I think there's some other interpretations to the word, but most commentators interpret it as the chess game. So he explained it, Ksuva Samachalev. So he explained it spiritually. And the point that Rebbe brought out then was the point Alter Rebbe makes here in chapter 49, and it's really a central theme in Tanya. And very briefly, it works like this. There are two teams that fight with each other. There's a black team and there's a white team. Two rows, each has 8 pieces. It's 16 against 16. And this is what we have. The most indispensable element of the game is the king. The king barely moves. The king stays in one place. If it's really, really dangerous, then the king will move here, there, there, very little. But the king tries to remain in one place. Then you have the queen. The queen is the wife of the king, and the queen flies around, advances securely in every direction. The king is the most significant general that fights the war on behalf of her husband, of the king. Then we have the officers, also very distinguished officers. We have 3 types of officers. We have what they call the rook, the knight, and the bishop. And they each have a lot of power. They each advance significantly. And they all contribute and play a crucial element in defeating the other team and creating a situation of checkmate where the other king is trapped. Then you have the pawns. The pawns are what we call the shlumazalim of the game. First of all, they're put in the front row. They're not even protected. Second of all, they can only advance one step at a time. And that step must be forward. They can't go diagonally. They can't go backwards. They certainly can't skip. No skipping. Step by step by step. And more, they keep on getting knocked off. Even the greatest chess player, the pawns get knocked off here, right and left, and so forth. But, one thing. All the officers who fly around, the rook and the knight and the bishop, they remain who they are, and they're very successful. The pawn, if you get the pawn to the other side of the board, you can exchange it for any other piece, and it can even become a queen. That's the rule in chess. The pawn can become even a queen. It can't become the king, but it can become even a queen. This is the whole story of life and the whole story of the universe. There are basically two teams. They both look alike. One is real, and one looks real. Each has what the other one has, because if not, there's no competition. This one has a real king, and the other one says, I also have a god. This one has a queen, the other one says, I have a queen, and so on and so forth. And he explained that he said as follows, the king is Hashem. The Melech Malchei Amlachim, the king of all kings, is Hashem. And Hashem really does not get involved in a manifest way in the game, because it's our game. That's the whole point. It's your game. It's your issue. If it's a real time of crisis, he'll show up a little bit, but there's always a veil. There is always a veil. Only at 3-4 times in history was the veil removed, and we spoke about the Yetzias Mitzrayim and so forth, Exodus of Egypt and so forth. But there's the queen. The queen is what he calls in Perek Mem Tes Knesset Yisrael Lamaila, the community of the Jewish people above Malchus Datzilus, the queen of Chachma Datzilus. The queen, the feminine energy of Atzilus, that's the source of all the souls, it's the source of the life of the worlds. That's the spiritual counterpart of the Godhead, so to speak, in sophisticated language, if you wish. And Malchus Datzilus, that's the queen. And the queen is what experiences intimacy with Hashem, but it's part of the Atzilus world, it's inaccessible to us. Then you have the castles, the rook, the knight, and the bishop actually reflects the seraphim, the chayas, and the ifanim, three levels of angels that he describes in this perek that exist in the three worlds, Briya, Yetzirah, and Asiya, three levels. And they are very spiritual, very advanced, very in touch with divinity, but it's already not the queen. They're not right near the king. There's a sense of self on different levels, but there's a sense of detachment, although in a very spiritual way. Then you have the pawns. For the pawns, we just have to look in the mirror. The pawns are the crude human beings who are in the front line, could never skip, could never advance swiftly. We keep on getting knocked off. You think you're spiritual, the next day you get knocked down. You think you're holy, suddenly you discover you're profane. And if we want to progress, it's one step at a time. Every day there's another challenge. Every day there's another resistance. And this is the fight of the Jew, of the human being. He's small, he's a pawn. He doesn't have that dignity. He doesn't have that revealed heavenliness. He's fighting, he's getting knocked, he has to come back, and struggles, and in the tension, and in the resistance, and with all the temptations, he proceeds slowly and advances one step at a time. You can't go two steps. You can't, it's impossible. But what happens is, this pawn, ultimately, if it continues consistently, reaches the second side of the board, it turns into a queen. And this is the point Alter Rebbe is making. That the angels are unbelievably spiritual. But they say, Kaddish, 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 Maloich al Aretz Kvoideh. The real story, the real game is happening within the pawns. They're the ones who create the victory, because they're the ones who also get the losses, who get knocked. And they're the ones who advance one step, because they're the pawns in the front line. And therefore, it's the pawns who ultimately Hashem shared his intimacy with. It's the pawn that turns into a queen. The knight could never become a queen. The neshikin, the kiss, The Torah and the mitzvahs is shared with the physical Jew who lives here in this world, who achieves that oneness, that zivug, that chibug, that nishug, that embrace, that intimacy, that kiss with Hashem, and creates the revolution where ultimately Hashem's absoluteness should be revealed in this world, and through him, the bishop and the rook and the knight also win the game. They also win the game, but it's ultimately in the pawn where the whole story lay. And if you really want to get into it more, the Rebbe said, and that's why there are 8 lines, 8 rows in the game of chess. Famous Kliyakar in the beginning of Parshas Shmini, that the number 8 represents the energy of Mashiach that transcends the 7 days of creation, because in the game of life, in the struggle of life, we start from the beginning and we go to the 8th row, the pawn advances all the way and brings the king's sovereignty and exclusivity into the entire board, into the entire chessboard of life. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.